please. Big warm welcome for our final storyteller this evening. It's Paul Brady.
While it may not look like it, this photo marks the simultaneous beginning and end of an era. It was taken in the middle of the afternoon, Saturday the 16th of March 1991. Ireland was playing Scotland in what was known then as the Five Nations. I know this for a fact because it was also my wedding day. There are at least a dozen other people in that room who are not in the photo. You may notice I'm not in it. I was in a different room with 100 guests and the master of ceremonies, who were all asking me where the bride and the rest of the bridal party were. Because we really needed to get on with this whole food and cake cutting exercise. The natives were getting restless, and it seemed that the old adage was incorrect. Punch was blameless. There actually could be no show without Judy. The Duchess and I would be going out with each other 2 whole years that following Monday on the 18th. We really wanted to get married on St. Patrick's Day. But as it fell on a Sunday, we had to move to the previous day. So that explains why, if you ask me when my anniversary is, I'll say 16th of March. If you ask the Duchess, she'll say, well, it should have been the 17th, but we'll get married on the 16th, but it's really the 18th. It's at this point I'm usually silently mouthing the words, run and save yourself, to any hapless strangers who have innocently asked about the date just to make conversation. Luckily for me, the photo not only captures a fantastic moment in time, it also holds so many hidden regrets and laughs. On the far left is my father-in-law, Hugh. He was a teacher and a published author and poet. Unfortunately, it was invented a decade too late, but I wish he was still around because I could bring him to a 10 by 9. As a lover of language and a great storyteller, he would have absolutely adored it here. He would most likely be up here instead of me, regaling everybody with a hilarious tale, a much more grammatically correct one, with a lot less slang and swearing in it. Alternatively, I'd like to think of him that he might be sitting down there, realising that there might be more to his giant son-in-law than bad language and beautiful grandchildren. Ironically, if he was still alive, I truly doubt that I'd have had the courage to step out of his literary shadow and take those first few tentative steps towards the Christmas lights. It's from him that the Duchess inherited her exaggerated sense of unnecessary panic in situations that don't require it. It's also where her and her siblings get their laugh from, that you can hear in another postcode. Also in the photo is Andy, my prod friend from work. He brought his then girlfriend to the wedding. I'd only ever met her once. As the Duchess and I sat a few nights before the wedding, making up the place cards for the tables, I realised I couldn't remember her surname. That was going to be a problem, because the format was Mr. P. Brady, Miss B. Goldsmith, and so on and so forth. I told the Duchess that I knew it was something to do with genitals. After a while, we convinced herself that her surname was Bullock. Because it sounded like, well, you know what it sounds like. Miss A. Bullock was duly written on the card, and it was placed on the table. In our wedding video, you can actually see her walking up and down the tables looking for her name. By process of elimination, she eventually works out that the empty seat facing her boyfriend was for her. She never did find the place card with Miss A. Hancock written on it. What we couldn't have known about that wedding day was that it would be the last of its kind. There was a new era for weddings underway. Brides and grooms were organising their own weddings now. They chose what they wanted and how they wanted it. They paid for the big things themselves. It wasn't uncommon now for the bride and groom to be already living together and for it not to be known as living in sin. I slept in the same bed as my brother until the night before my wedding. If that isn't a sin, I don't know what is.
I was married at 23.
Modern 90s couples invited who they wanted and left out who they didn't. The Duchess and I had minimal say in the way things were done or planned. We said yes or no to choices put in front of us and turned up on the day. Everyone was there. Family, friends, neighbours, friends of neighbours, work colleagues, genital-themed friends of work colleagues. After our big church wedding, even the priest got an invite. This is remarkable in that neither the Duchess and I have ever been in any way religious. There was a never-to-be-repeated combination of people all in the one room that day. A one-off meeting of generations, and representing those generations were some of the funniest people I've ever known. The recorded speeches are a masterclass of stand-up comedy and irreverent but equally hilarious crowd participation. It featured the last appearances of an older generation filled with fantastic, larger-than-life characters. Also in attendance, for one day only, was our own peer group, a younger generation, an extended group of friends who'd all been constant companions throughout our teens. A group who were just on the cusp of that stage of life where they broke away and started forging lives for themselves. Those lives no longer centred around meeting up and hanging around, doing not very much except drinking and going to concerts and having a laugh. By the time the next big family wedding occurred, most of the old legends were gone, and the younger ones were dispersed and living their own lives. The Duchess and I also observed some old-fashioned customs that day that are unheard of now and weren't really the done thing anymore even then. We left our own wedding, for instance, just as the party was starting. It had been the custom that the bride and groom left the reception to go to their honeymoon. The guests all lined up and officially waved us off as we left the hotel not that long after our first dance. The thing was that we were staying in the hotel and leaving the next day for our honeymoon. So we'd had to just go and sit in my sister's house nearby and watch TV for a couple of hours while everybody had the best night ever. Then we crept back into the hotel when it was quiet and went to bed. The honeymoon is a story in itself for a different day, but suffice to say, it was a complete and utter disaster. We returned home a week later, somewhat deflated, and quietly got on with the business of moving into our newly purchased tiny little house. We moved in at the beginning of July and spent a couple of weeks feeling out our new mixed area and our new mixed neighbours. Our next door neighbours were two full-time alcoholics who had a flag flying from May to November. I think that was mostly because nobody was ever sober enough to get up a ladder and take it down. When they weren't knocking the malt out of each other, they were plotting loudly about the demise of the dirty Fenian bastards who had moved in next door. We felt sorry for those guys, whoever they were. Our neighbours facing were an older retired couple who exchanged polite but reserved small talk like good morning and nice weather we're having. There were some other flags and it was a little tense, but nothing excessive. The 12th of July that year was on a Friday, and as we both had the day off, the Duchess and I were having a lie-in. The unmistakable sound of an orange flute band broke the morning silence. We were about a mile from the parade route. "That sounds awful close," I said, as I got up to take a look out of the bedroom window. "It's probably just the sound carrying up from the village," she says. "They're at the fucking gate," I said. "What? How do they know we've moved in here?" She was whispering, in case they could hear her, above the full-blooded version of the sash being played outside. "What? They don't? I mean, they wouldn't? I mean, shut up, will you? They'll try and figure out what's going on." The music stopped. The front door of the house opened, and our elderly neighbour stepped out in full regalia to a warm round of applause. When I had spoken to him in the street earlier, he had forgotten to mention that it was his final year as the head of the local Orange Lodge. and that it was tradition for the local band to come and see him off to the parade on his last glorious 12th at the helm. We actually ended up becoming good neighbours who lent each other garden tools. They eventually adopted our cat and were nice to our kids. We just didn't talk about religion or politics, which suited me down to the ground. So for us, we always remember 1991 fondly. It was the year that had two memorable marches in it.